This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Mālōla lei to all our Tongan listeners, and of course, hello and welcome to everyone else tuning in to Neesian Footy from across the Pacific, the number one place to keep up to date with our incredible Pacifica athletes in the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and with me is my Cook Island koi, Tinidar Arona T. Footy, footy, footy. There's so much of it.
Kia rana, Sammy, and kia rana to everyone listening here on Neesian Footy. Happy Friday, mate.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Plenty, plenty of footy, plenty of rugby league and rugby union. We'll be catching up with Sala Tongatuki as she plays her first trial for the Tigers this weekend. We'll also catch up with Totai Kefu today and cover all the international rugby union games that have happened last week and upcoming this weekend as well. And I am taking you to Northern Mariana Islands for the culture shock today, so stay tuned for that one.
Oh, beautiful. Big show plan. Let's rip in.
Hey, guys. It's Ruben Porter here, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
As always, we'll kick off the we'll wrap up the week's news, sorry, with the NRL game last night. The Dolphins took on the South Sydney Rabbitohs. High-scoring game.
Very, very entertaining game that was played up at Redcliffe. The Dolphins defeating the Rabbitohs, who were on a five-game win streak. A huge game for the Dolphins as well. They now currently stand fifth on the NRL ladder. Now, there were six tries in each of this. Both teams scored six tries each, but it was the Samoan Jermaine Sako. He made the difference, kicking six from six conversions. We did see PNG Kumu and South Sydney Rabbitohs winger Alex Johnston. He scored two tries, but it wasn't enough for the Rabbitohs to get the job done. Now, Wayne Bennett, after the game in his post-match interview, he speaks about how proud he was about the players that have stepped up for the current injured players. They've got a few injuries, but they're still managing to get the job done in huge games like this. And I think that leads me to my player of the match, my Neesian player of the match, the Tongan Tavita Pangai Jr. Mate, the way that he started this game really set the intent and the platform for the Dolphins. His running game, his offload game, he finished this game with 176 metres and three offloads.
How long was he out of the game for?
Close to a year or half a year.
Half a year.
So he left Canterbury Bulldogs mid-season last year. Yep. He's played his fourth game and now starting his first game for the Dolphins this last night, sorry. And he went on to score a try that only he could score when he's just running at the South Sydney Rabbitohs defenders, puts the ball down. But he also set up a nice try with an offload that led to a nice passage of plays that a number of our Neesian footy stars played a role in for Sean O'Sullivan's try as well. Here's Tafita's first try.
Right in front of the uprights. Plath there at dummy half. Pops it up for Pangai! Into the end goal, he scored! Thrash ball line from Tavita Pangai. He's taken three buddies into the end goal with him. But he's planted the Steedon and scored the try. On return to the starting team. On return to the NRL, his first try back.
Here's an offload. Here's the second try that I mentioned where Sean O'Sullivan gets over on a nice team try.
Now Pangai takes them into attack and he gets an offload away to Fuller. Dances up to the 40, passes to the right edge for Lemu Elu. Draws, dummies, straightens, brings Asako infield, passes to Amarillo, 15 out, passes infield to O'Sullivan. That is an outstanding try. Wow.
It was cool to see Lemuelu go through there. We had him on that Pacific Sports show only a couple of weeks ago. Oh, the best looking eyebrows I've ever seen in my life. It's a new thing the players these days getting their eyebrows done.
Yeah,
cut
do
smoothly.
That, do that back in our days, mate.
Oh, you're mate, you'll cop a flogging, that's for sure.
But also your cousin, Isaiah Katoa, is still playing some good footy, put in a nice little grubber for Cody Nikarima to score. So, the Dolphins flying at the moment. Now, Las Vegas. I know we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, Sammy.
That we're going.
We're still finding a way to get there, but the games have been confirmed. There are four games. The first one starting on the Saturday, March the 1st. We see Super League teams, Wigan Warriors, taking on the Warrington Wolves. I bet I know the boys over there will be cheering to go get a trip to Las Vegas and play before the NRL games. And after, straight after the Super League game, we have the Canberra Raiders playing the New Zealand Warriors.
Also, so the Waz are heading
the
over.
The Waz are heading over. The whole North Island, the whole South Island's going over to Las Vegas, and they'll be cheering on their Warriors players.
That's exciting news for them. Actually, up the Waz.
That would be
Vegas.
The return of. Oh, sorry, not the return. It'll be James Fisher-Harris's first game for the Warriors in Las Vegas as well. We will see the Gillaroos take on the England women's team. So a women's international test match will be held before the Penrith Panthers take on the Cronulla Sharks.
That's a huge weekend in Vegas.
The Sopwonga Cup. Tupou Sopwonga playing for both the Panthers and the Sharks. So a huge weekend in Vegas, and I'm sure they'll have a number of different sporting events attached to this one as well. So looking forward to that to kick off. Now, we've also got some other news where we will see Lorenzo Mulitalo debut for the Parramatta Eels. He is the brother of Ronaldo Mulitalo. So huge congratulations to the Mulitalo family.
Well, he was just is that the bloke we met the other week? Oh, that I met the other week. He was scaffolding not long ago.
That's the one, mate. So he scaffolds with my friend, Cook Island teammate, Vinnie Rennie, Vincent Rennie.
That's crazy. Scaffolding a few weeks ago now, he's playing, making his debut.
Well, it's funny because I messaged Vincent and I go, bro, that's pretty cool that Lorenzo's playing after I've seen him scaffold all year with you and your team. And he goes, yeah, it'll be good. He'll be working the next week as well.
straight back to work straight after back his to debut. Work when are you
similar
back?
To what Ruben said.
Yeah, exactly.
And in other news, we see the PNG Cornwalls are in talks with ex-South Sydney Rabbitohs head coach Jason Demetrio to be their head coach. And Tolutau Kola, unfortunately, has suffered a MCL injury. So he'll be out for 6 weeks. Now, we spoke about his huge game for Manly Sea Eagles, playing fullback last game. And he was my standout player. But wish him all the best during this rehab. And I'm sure he'll be flying come that back end of the season. And remember, you can hear every NRL game, including the State of Origin, live on ABC Radio Australia. State of Origin this Wednesday. Let's go, Blues.
Oh, the Blues. Hopefully they can get the job done up there in Queensland. Looking forward to that. Over to rugby news. We have the Tonga-Italy game, T. That will be on while we're recording, so we're going to cover that on Monday. Hopefully I'll be coming in with my red jumper again, waving the flag. In victory.
I didn't even notice it.
Yeah, just thought I'd represent the red today doing that. Hopefully they get the win, though, so I can have something to smile about come Monday. So I don't want to wear Italian jersey. But then also, we have Samoa take on Spain on Saturday. Again, back-to-back games at Apia Park in Samoa. This will be a tough one for Samoa in terms of that favouritism tag. I'm looking forward to talking to Kefu a bit later on this show to get his thoughts on what is it about our Pacific Island countries when they've got that favoritism tag and sometimes they just don't deliver compared to when they come up against a T1 team. So we'll get a little bit of insight from him on the preparation there.
It actually reminds me of teams like the All Blacks. You know, when they're successful, they still turn up.
They're just relentless.
Every game.
Yeah, they're
whether
relentless.
It's an easy one, whether it's a harder one, they still do the right things. They know how to win games and they still turn up and yeah, like you said, relentless.
Yeah, strong leaders in those teams that know how to win, and doesn't matter who they're playing, doesn't matter where they're playing, they'll always front up with their preparation. So that'll be good to talk to him about that. We also see Fiji. They leapfrog Wales in the men's world rugby rankings. They now sit 10th behind Italy, who are 9th, Australia in 8th spot. So this is big for them being inside that top 10.
Where's Samoa? Samoa, are they ranked top 10?
No, they're outside of the 10. I think they're in
there. I only asked that because they beat Italy last week.
Now, they'll still stay down there. They've got a chance to move if they win again against Spain. I think they're probably sitting around 12th or 13th at the moment. But, yeah, that's big news for Fiji. I just think with, again, the inclusion of the drawer, their pathway system, everything that's happening, it's gearing towards better performances with their national team.
Did you say Australia were 8th?
Yes, Samoa 13th, Australia were 8th. It's not, again, when you look at Australia, they've always been in that top four. So they've slipped down that pecking order. Hopefully with a couple more wins, they can rise up in those rankings. But at the moment, the two powerhouse teams, South Africa and Ireland, and of course New Zealand and England, they're dominating so far. So hopefully, the Wallabies can make a charge up the ladder in the next month or two with their test results. And speaking of the Wallabies, we only minimal changes for their team against Wales this week. We see Valentini moves into the blindside position in number 6. He was playing number 8 last week. Lungi Gleeson comes on the bench, the big Fijian from the Waratahs, at number 8. He'll be a massive inclusion. His impact from the bench with his ball carries and bending that Welsh line. Looking forward to seeing him play. Yeah, Samoa was sitting 14th, and with that win over Italy, they now jump to 13th. And if they win again, they could probably get into 12th spot. So just those.
Well,
they should win.
And they will win if a lot of the people in Apia head down to the game, support the Samoan team, cheer them on. Let's see some backflips, some rolling down the hill, just like we see in news when the Moana Pacifica
were
playing in Apia. So
get out there to Apia Park.
Yes.
Support your blue team, the Manu Samoa, and make sure you wave those flags hard and cheer. I'm looking forward to that
Give us your chihu, your biggest.
Chihu!
Yeah,
did I get it?
That's the one. Oh, don't ask me to do it.
My throat nearly went through. Tonga are 15th, just while we're on that world rankings. And the Cook Islands, do you know where they sit, T?
Not known
for rugby union, but plenty of great Cook Island players that have played rugby. Don't ask me to name them. Don't know them.
If I get it right, give me an easy knowledge point.
Oh,
mate, you know that I won't get that right.
All right, yeah, I'll give that to you.
All right, well,
if this is a stitch up, well played.
I'm going to go 25th.
Nah, well, you got half of it right. It's 50.
50th?
Yeah, they're 50th, mate.
Wow.
Come on, mate. Continuing with rugby union, we have the Wallaroos play the Black Ferns in Brisbane on Sunday. Team list not out yet, but it's obviously going to be a mammoth task for the Wallaroos. Have not beaten the Black Ferns. And if we go off their last encounter, it was over 60 points, I'm pretty sure, for the Black Ferns beating the Wallaroos. So with the win against Fiji, I'm sure they'll take a lot of confidence out of that. But at the same time, they'll need to be on with their detail. They'll need to be on with their carries and be physical and compete for every single minute in that game.
I feel an upset coming.
Do you feel it? It's got to happen at some point. It has to. I think with them, if when you go into these games, if you can just stay in the fight and probably break it up, don't look at the whole 80 minutes. I mean, you can go into 5 minutes, still nil or. If you can go into 10 minutes and it's, nil or again, by the time you hit the 20-minute mark, even if you're behind by 2 points,
you're giving yourself a chance. You're not trying to chase the game after 5-10 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah, not getting out the blocks early.
So just break up that game into, small increments to be able to, give yourself confidence throughout that 80 minutes. So hopefully they can do something well. And in the under-20s, World Rugby Championship, Fiji lost to Argentina 52-12. There was a washout over there, Australia versus Ireland, so they didn't even play that game. They shared the points, which means Australia misses out on the semi-finals.
That's it for rugby?
That is it for rugby union.
Well, no, it's not it, because we will be catching up with Totai Kefu soon
plenty
more rugby union. But let's get to our first expert of the show, our one and only Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes away to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, covering all our Rugby League news, Fetu Samoan and New South Wales Origin superstar, plus our NRLW one and only Sala Tongatuki.
Thank you, T. One of a kind. Welcome.
You could have said expert. You
could have been better.
Expert.
Nah, I said expert leading into this. So I didn't want to say expert twice.
Oh, he just lost his shit. He looks at me, train of thought gone, and welcome to the show, Sala.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me back, boys. But yeah, the week's been great. School holidays, and we've kicked off our very first, not very first, but probably our biggest number with our all-girls clinic, big turnout. So that was the big achievement for us girls. And yeah, we normally don't get to get some of our NRW girls down to some of these clinics. So me, Bo and Kezzy, we work with the community club, and that's something that we always have to do. But seeing some of the girls and that sort of put their jobs aside for a day and come out and hang out with the little girls and that, it's pretty inspiring. And a lot of them had nieces there, and it was just cute seeing them in their little jumpers and jumping all over us. And that's something, yeah, just my heart was just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, it's pretty special that we get these little humans that who get to look up to us, and just they literally treated us like we were celebrities. And that was such a nice feeling, especially for the new faces at the club. They really enjoyed it, and they just couldn't stop talking about it when we went to training. So it was cool.
Yeah, it sounds awesome. I remember seeing photos of you with your Tigers gear on and all the girls around you, just seeing how inspired they looked. How many girls were at this clinic?
Oh, I think it's like more than 130 plus. We had the clinic range from the ages of under 6 to under 15s or 16s. I'm not sure if got that right, but I don't know. Some of those girls look like they were older than what they registered as. So, you know, our future is looking very positive and large. Last year we quite lacked in this area where we didn't actually share it verbally with our loved ones who had kids, probably more than one kid who probably wanted to attend. You know, they probably wanted to put all their kids in it, but like they just couldn't afford some clinics and stuff like that. There wasn't much going around here in the West. So, yeah, we ended up sharing the word around more. And then, yeah, I guess that's probably why the turnout was big, because we had a lot of girls coming from out here, the West of Sydney, girls coming from like Wollongong and that. And then we had some girls just coming from the West Tigers regions. But then we actually had some girls and that travel 3 hours just for this clinic.
Wow.
Yeah, like there was a few of them that had carpooled and come down together. I didn't quite know where the area was where they came from, but it was going around amongst us that the, you know, the sacrifice, seeing these little ones, you know, do this. And it was so fitting because we did a Q&A at the end of it with every single one of us. And Kezzy, she was probably inspired these girls a lot, because Kezzy, when she first started her game playing 10 years ago, actually, she her and her mum, they would drive 6 hours one way and 6 hours back to Bega. I'm from Bega to Sydney. Damn. To the Wollongong, something for her trainings and that. So it's quite crazy that, you know, Kezzy's, these girls actually, their parents that brought them out because of Kezzy's story.
It's awesome to see you and the other girls, you know, shining your light and being an inspiration. And it seems like the West Tigers women's future is looking bright. Leading up to your first trial for the West Tigers this weekend, are you up in Queensland at the moment? Are you in Brisbane?
We got captain's run today, and then we fly out tomorrow morning, and we play tomorrow afternoon, evening.
Hey, we get Shelley Long on every Monday, who plays up at North Queensland Cowboys.
Yes.
And they're talking about their pre-season is not what they call it. They call it a readiness season, because it's they've already had a season and they're getting ready for their new season. They've changed the lingo. Is that what you got? What the Tigers would be thinking? It's not really a pre-season because you've already played Origin. And you're getting ready, or are you still calling it the same old preseason where you're getting flogged?
Okay, this is a stitch up. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys. So the 5 weeks that me and Kezzy were absent, the girls were saying that the sessions have been quite sweet, like, you know, not not much hard than what it is now. So when we came out of camp, for some reason the first session we were back to, that's probably the hardest they said they've had all preseason. Me and Kezzy, the next day, we woke up and we couldn't even turn our necks left and right. And we were just laughing at each other, looking at each other like this. And I'm just like, this is, not, I don't know what it is, but this something's going to be fixed here for next year, in and out of Origin stuff. I'm just balancing load-wise. But knowing us, because, like, we're trying to be leaders as well, we don't want to look like those players that are like, I'm too good to do this and that. We never have that. And our attitude is attitude. Oh, sorry, our core value is, one of them is attitude. So we didn't want to back down from that. But, yeah, we gradually, yeah, it's been tough. I think last night or the night before, me and a couple of the other middles, we clocked nearly 7Ks of running. Damn. On Monday.
Ooh, in
we clocked
the session? Nearly
6Ks. In a session, yeah.
Ooh, wow.
Just speaking about your own journey, when you think about it, you know, coming back from your injury, doing all the rehab training, then straight into Origin camp, which you've pretty much done a small pre-season, done the the women's 3-game series and then coming back to Tigers straight into the peak of preseason leading into these trials. How are you dealing with the load? Have you had, like, do you put more importance towards your recovery now? How do you handle everything that's on your plate at the moment?
That's a good one. It's been tough on me, to be honest. Like, there's times where I just want to cry and just wish that the injury never happened, especially on my ankle. Like, and we only have one physio with us this year. She does have some helping hands, but they also have another life outside of this, and I don't get paid for the time they come in and help our physio with us. So it's just hard having one physio. Like, you don't get that treatment, like, on hands that you sort of want all the time for it, especially I know I got through Origin, but, like, it's just post-Origin, like, the 3 series, like, it's been heavy on my ankle. Like, so I've actually just gone and just sorted wherever I can to get some treatment on it. I guess you just got to do what you got to do, like, exactly with the recovery things. Like, you know, I see a lot, some of the girls going home early because they want to get some sleep, but I sort of just end up just doing the recovery and I still go home and I'm just going to end up just communicate and just, I'm just going to sleep in with the work. And I guess with working for Tigers, it's a lot easier because they understand we are footy players first before we work with them. I sort of wish we were full time too. I just dream that one day that can come through, because I know that there's not just going to be one me that's going to go through this, like, you know, bounce back from something, go through something a lot tough. So I just hope, you know, for the next generation's sake that, you know, it can be full-time, I hope. Because I know the boys, they've got, like, what, 3-4 physios there. And I know it's a, what, top 30 squad. But we also have, like, 28, ideally 24 contract and 8-4 devs. So I would consider that we're quite, you know, sort of the same, top 28. But, yeah, I think, yeah, the difference as well, like, it's just a lot of mental work stuff as well. Like, for me, what's been keeping me, like, sort of okay with the preseason, you know, doing it all over again is the stuff I do off the field, and I'm quite passionate with it. And, yeah, I'll probably share it with you guys. Like, they've put me forward as a nominee for the Veronica medal. So, like, that was big for me. And I only just got that. Told that yesterday, 2 days ago, something like that. Yeah, I was shocked. Like, I think, yeah, just all that stuff that I do away from footy that's helped me mentally, like, be okay. Like, you know, like, I get to see the downside of, you know, footy's not everything. Like, literally, if you can find something that's going to always humble you and keep you grounded, like, you'll be sweet, like, literally. And that's what's kept me grounded is, you know, I've got my own clinic named after me that's officially launching next week. You know, you've got the FTA stuff coming up next Friday for the kids. That's what I just want school holidays to be all about for these kids is, you know, even for the parents, have a break. Like, just put these kids in something, but something that's they're gonna benefit from, not just from I'll just rock up and drop them off and pick them up, like, you know what I mean? Like,
you're planning.
I want them to take something. Yeah, I want them to take something away from this, you know, if it's going to be manners or something like that, like anything, like that would really make me happy. You know, it's making a change in some households and that. So
I'd love to hear it, Salah.
No, huge inspiration, yeah. Salah. I think you're definitely paving the way there and making a lot of ways for the next generation coming through, and it's helping you with your performances as well, having that humility piece to it. Heading up to Brisbane for the trial game, as we mentioned, what can we expect from a Tigers performance and what are you looking for? I know it's only a trial game. Some people don't like to focus on the results. How are you girls approaching this game?
So they're doing three quarters, 25 minutes. This game purely would definitely test our depth. You know, it's unlimited interchanges. So all those players that have been named in the reserves, they will get time as well. We don't have our fullback, Pauline Restivali. I think what you could expect from this group is a fit, mobile team. That's for sure. The new faces we've had come into the team, they've helped lift the standards. They're fit, and some of these girls have been playing in the BMD. So for them to come back and have that kind of match fitness and stuff like that, the speed, and they've been great for our girls to, you know, sort of do the catch up work. And our girls are now there, and I feel like they're ready. We had a lot of girls do a lot of PBs in a gym, so you can definitely see a lot more stronger pack, and even just, you know, our backs as well. So I think across the whole team, I think we'd be definitely wanting a lot more. We went well last year, and we know what we're capable of if, you know, everyone's injury free. So I'm I've been reiterating this every session to these girls that, you know, I'm very proud of them. And yeah, I don't know, like, I'm just excited to run out with this group.
And I'm excited to see how you girls, one, play the Broncos in this first trial, but also in the NRLW season. Just looking forward to this weekend. We've got the NRL. Which one game stands out for you and the players that are, the Nisian players that are involved in this game?
I'm definitely going the Broncos and Dragons game. Quite fitting that we're actually playing before them.
Sorry, oh, it's a double header.
Double header. Yeah, so our trial game is a double header of them. It could be a triple header if I'm not wrong. So yeah, it's gonna be really good. I'm probably gonna you know, back the Dragons for they're the away team as well. So I don't know. That I've gone.
You don't like Queensland, eh? Just say it.
Anyone
say
Queensland.
It's Origin Week. You can say it.
For real, I'm going into Origin Week, so I'm going Dragons. The boys, definitely like the Blues boys for us. So, I don't know. Yeah, no, it's funny that you guys say that because me and Kezzy looked at each other and we're like, I really want to run at, you know, these players in their team because they're from the Maroons team. And but no, like, you know, all out of bands and that, like, that's just, that's probably just going to motivate us a bit more. So, yeah, but I'm keen for that game. Sorry, the Dragons, Broncos have gone off title. I'm off topic. Dragons will be without their origin stars, Ben Hunt and Zach Lomax. And then you got the Broncos will be without Payne, Reese, and Pat Carrigan. So I reckon Dragons lost, you know, they've lost big last week to Roosters. They were in the battle. They just, you know, at the end sort of went away, which saw them get pushed out of the top eight. And that's, you know, disheartening because they worked so hard to just get into the top eight. But I reckon both teams will be desperate for the win, especially if they want to keep their finals hopes alive. And with the Dragons, I reckon if they can tidy the middle a little bit in a D, there was just parts of the game where the Roosters ran through it a fair bit. Dragons do have the middles to bounce back and dominate the Broncos, especially with Jaden Sua, who's you know, been omitted from game three's team. So having him back will, you know, or having him there still for this week's game will be a big boost for the Dragons. And but like my style, like I've always been a big believer of knocking the front door down first and earning the right to play, you know, build the pressure on the edges, get to do all the fancy finishes. So Broncos do that really well without Reece Welsh. Their depth of their squad's quite sweet. We've seen it a fair few times. I think there's a big job there for Josh Rogers, pairing in halves with Ezra Mair. I think them two they would have to work together really well. And probably the Indonesian players I'd probably look forward to is Tony Staggs and Jordan Ricci. They're both returning to the Broncos team, so I reckon they'll add strength. And I think that's what Broncos probably miss is Katoni's aggressive, you know, running game. So that'll be cool to see him return and play. But yeah, both centres for both teams, they're all meter eaters. Their work rates are high. You know, you've got Katoni Staggs up against Moses Sully, Max Fianglai against Dane Marinar. But that's, you know, across the whole team, they've got a lot of Nisian players to look out for. So I just, yeah, Francis Mullo, Xavier Willison in the middle. Then you've got your veterans on the bench, Martin Tapau and Ben Murdoch-Hiller. So them two will bring a wealth of experience off the bench, and I reckon they'll surely have an impact. So, yeah, probably be a good game. I'm going with the Dragons.
I like the look of the Dragons. I think there'll be a good outside back battle between both teams, but I just like the look of the Dragons' outside backs. When you name, you know, Tui Pulotu, Moses Sully, Max Fiangai, and the return of Mikaeli Ravalawa, you know, they're going to perform, but then they're going up against, you know, the Broncos' outside backs as well, and you mentioned Kotoni Staggs and Dean Mariner as well. So a huge game to look forward to. That's us.
That's us. That's our unreal. Plenty of footy chat. So, Sala, as always, we really appreciate you coming on. Good luck up in Brisbane. Hopefully you get some good minutes.
Thank you.
And, start the season hopefully well with the Tigers.
Thanks, boys.
Set the tone for New South Wales up there for us.
Bula, my name is Fani Are. You're listening to Nisian Puri.
Culture Shock.
Yes, we have Culture Shock, where we go island hopping and finding out a little bit more information about our island brothers and sisters out there. And last week we went to, where did we go? Chuuk, and realised how single we would be in Chuuk because we don't know how to build a boat, a house, fish, or anything manly. So This week, we are going to... Where are we going to?
The Northern Marianas.
Oh, yes, Northern Marianas.
You should know this because you threw me this one.
Yeah, that's true. Again, my listening skills is just not great and my memory's not
great.
Quick
question. Why the Northern Marianas? Is it somewhere you flew past or...?
Well, they actually won the Micronesia Games.
Oh, there you go.
So I thought that's why it stuck in my brain.
Well, I thought you had something interesting and I was like, damn, trying to find out.
No, that's where you're supposed to have something interesting.
Well, I do. Funny
Talk to
you
me.
Say that.
Talk well, to me.
Nice and quick, mate. The Northern Marianas is, the islands are home to the rare coconut crab. Coconut crab.
Sweet. No,
the largest. So the largest terrestrial arthropod.
Sorry?
The largest terrestrial arthropod in the world. Now, these crabs can grow up to 3 feet across and have powerful grip capable of cracking open coconuts.
Oh, those big crabs, eh? They're massive, aren't
so
they?
Instead of husking it, they're huge, mate. And you can actually eat them, but I believe that they're endangered. So,
okay, but just on that, what did you say? Extraterrestrial aphrodisiac. What did you say?
The largest terrestrial arthropod. So it's like...
an arthropod.
Do you know the on Pokemon, the crabs?
Yeah.
It's like similar.
I'm thinking, I thought you said arthropod. So is it like, does it look like me?
Well, anyway, the islands are home to the coconut crab, the rare coconut crab. They are huge. They are strong enough to crack open any coconut.
I love it, T. Perfect. Where are we going to next?
Next week, we are heading to Tonga.
Oh, we'll go back to the kingdom.
We're going back to the kingdom. And
okay,
then
perfect.
You can throw it back to Cook Islands. Let's go back to the motherlands and see what we can come up with.
Beautiful. And on that, speaking of Tongans, we're going to go straight to Toto Kefu to give us the insight in rugby union.
The rugby union preview.
Kefu. Toto Kefu.
With Toto Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is one of the greatest number eights of all time, has won every major trophy at test level, former Wallaby and Queensland Reds superstar, Toto Kefu. Kefs, welcome back, mate. What's been happening?
Good morning, boys. I love those introductions, Ikesy.
Oh, mate, you're my favourite player, mate. I'm still stoked that I get to talk to you every Friday.
Last time the Wallabies won anything as well, so he likes to bring that up.
Yeah, that's very true. It's the only time we get to plug the Wallabies winning something, but they did win on the weekend, so we'll definitely touch on that. But how's your week been so far, Kef?
Yeah, well, a plethora of rugby union games last week, and even this weekend, you could, as an entree, watch the Tongan game today. And then you could wake up tomorrow morning and pretty much lock yourself in your room, stay in your pajamas the whole day and just watch back-to-back rugby games with the last game on at 5 o'clock in the morning in Argentina where France play Argentina. So you could lock yourself away in your pajamas, just store some food.
Is that what you'll be doing?
No, I actually have to leave the house to go watch some school. I've got some school footy on tomorrow, but I wish I could.
Oh, that sounds like an absolute dream. I'm sure our wives would love that to sit with us and, you know, have a bit of dessert after. But anyway, that's another story. Let's kick off with international rugby with Samoa and Italy from last week. An impressive win. I thought they were pretty cohesive for a first up effort. Yeah, what impressed you about that game?
Yeah, I thought they did really well. Like Samoa... Like Italy had a really good side, and they did. I thought it was one of their better Six Nations they had this year, Italy. So I actually thought, did I tip them? I actually tipped Italy to win this. But Samoa, with a limited preparation time, they did really well. You know, they just hung in there. It was a close game for the full 80 minutes, and they got away with it in the last 10, 15 minutes. But, look, I thought they did really well. That 10, Luila, I think.
Yeah, D'Angelo,
I thought he was awesome, controlled the game, managed the field position, kicked some really crucial goals at times. I thought he was awesome. Well done to Samoa. I didn't give him a chance at all, but they played really well, showed some good resilience, and just hung in there.
Yeah, couldn't agree more with around their game management, their spine of like Tamatini at 9, D'Angelo at 10, Tuala at 12. I thought they really controlled the tempo and playing in the right parts of the field really well in that game. They come up against Spain. Obviously, probably expected to win and win well after that performance, especially playing with that favoritism tag as a island country. Does it sit well in your experience, that favoritism?
I don't think so. I think we perform much better when we got the underdog tag.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, when we're not supposed to win, we play much, much better. I don't know. It's a mental thing with us, I think. Do you agree with that?
I do. And so with this game, do you think it's a bit of a, I guess, a big test for them to be able to, one, go back-to-back wins and put on a performance that actually shows that they're capable of just putting those smaller nations to the sword?
Yeah, look, I think so. That'll play on their mind. But look, I think they've got some confidence now. They've had a limited preparation time and they've gone straight into this. So I think last week would have given them a whole heap of confidence moving forward. And Spain's, I wouldn't say Spain is as good as Italy, but they're getting better and better. They've got a really good local team, a local competition going. And there's a heap of foreigners playing over in Spain now. There's Kiwis, there's Australians. So their local competition's getting better and better. They've got a heap more players playing overseas. It'll be, I reckon it'll be still a close game, but Samoa should take this game out.
In your own experience, Kefs, we, as the Ikalitahi head coach, were there ever times where you were the favourite leading into the games but then not quite get the results?
Yeah, we've had a lot of that. We probably wouldn't lose those games, but it would be a real close game, if you know what I mean. And we'd probably cop some flack afterwards, saying that we've taken the game easy or the performance was below par. And it was. And I think as Islanders or Polynesians, we do get a little bit too comfortable. You know, we love that underdog status. Like, we grow into different beasts when people say you're not supposed to win. You know, I think we just react to that type of scenario better.
Yeah, it's like the old saying, you know, tell us we can't run through the brick wall, we'll find a way to run through the brick wall. Do you think there's a reason to that, though? Like, is it the preparation leading into training changes or the attitude from the players? Why do you think sometimes, like, this could be a common area where teams are meant to win these games, but you know, either not come out with the result or struggle to win comfortably?
Look, I think from a coach's point of view, you actually probably train the team harder so you can get that sharper mindset leading into those easier games. And the players definitely react to that better, but it's just something that's in our psyche, I think. When we get to game day, you know, we just don't probably, you know, dot the I's and cross the T's as much as we should against teams that were, you know, the tier one teams. I needed no motivation for those games. My players were up, they were hissing at training and the comms would be loud and frequent. But yeah, it'll be interesting. But it's a mindset that we've got to get a lot better at, definitely.
Yeah, you're right. And it comes down to some of those leaders really standing up and making sure they're focused in their preparation, helping the team prepare well. And, man, some of those famous victories. Look back at that 2011 World Cup, Tonga beating France. Unbelievable there. But moving on to the next game, we had Fiji beating Georgia. What did you make of this one? Like, not probably the style we're probably used to seeing with Fiji, with the flair, but a good arm wrestle for them to be able to win like that way.
Well, Georgia are a bloody good team these days. And especially at home, they're always going to be hard to beat. I thought the first half was really competitive. I think at times Georgia, with their discipline, let them down at times, especially that yellow card at halftime. You know, that was ridiculous. And they actually, from that point on, Georgia kind of slipped away in terms of being competitive. The Georgia's strength is their forward play and their scrum's outstanding, unbelievable. And Fiji, they've grown in that area, especially the scrum, especially at test level. So, you know, they played really well there, had some really good ascendancy. But I think just the Fijian backs, the athleticism, the size, you know, Georgia at times just couldn't handle that.
Yeah, you're not wrong around the set piece of the Fijians, and you look at Super Rugby, one of their biggest improvements has been their scrum and line out, being able to execute and have a solid platform. So that's obviously transferred into Test footy, which is pleasing to see. They'll head over to San Diego and play the All Blacks next week, so it'll be a great test there. The Wallabies off to a winning start. What did you like about their performance, and did it surprise you the way that they played?
Well, I think they won the game on the back of their defence. I think Joe Schmidt's looking at this year of just trying to find out who he's got in terms of players. A lot of experimenting, I would think. Results are important, but they're not the bottom line, I think. I think he's got a year of grace, so to speak, where he's probably can afford to lose a couple of test matches. There were some great performances, I thought, last week. I thought Hunter played well. He was dangerous. Duganu, I thought he was awesome on the wing. He's only going to get better. Lucan, I thought, was outstanding. He'll only get better. And same as Daniela Dubois. I think he was okay. Had some really good moments in the set piece, especially the scrum. He's only going to get better and better. All those players, especially the Polynesian players, they're only going to get better and better.
Yeah, we spoke about their experience in that pack and some of our Asian players and how crucial they'll be for that win. Lucan only played that 40, but you're right, he did play well. He had the flu throughout the whole week, so I'm sure he'll get more minutes this week. One of the debutants, Isaac Gailea, he was actually a former back rower, you know, through his junior stuff, and made the transition into the front row, and now he's playing for the Wallabies. Defensively, he was putting on some shots, and this week he gets to play in front of his family from down in Melbourne. He was quoted saying that his dad asked Joe Schmidt for some Wallabies kit and a jacket, so he was saying, my dad's already comfortable in and around the team, coming from the back row into the front row and making a statement when he came on with his defence. You know, how important is that for a young player coming through and having that first test match like that?
Yeah, I think that's great. It's awesome seeing young players do that. And, you know, I think I was honest with you last week. I haven't heard of So it was great to see him play the way he played. Just some raw energy, right? And not caring about playing the way he wants to play. Just get out there, knock a few people over and have a crack. And who cares about the consequences after that? But I think he's found some... I think he's found a really good player in Isaac Joe, and he's only going to get better and better with all those other players. Rob Valentini, I thought, was also awesome as well. But it's a little bit of excitement with this team moving forward. You know, we've got an unbelievable coaching group. There's some really good X factor. And if Joe Schmidt can give these guys time to grow and connect... Who knows? Bledisloe Cup, maybe.
Mm. Ooh, yeah, it's gonna. I'd love to see it, Kev. I'm sure every single Aussie fan would love to see it. You mentioned Rob Valentini. He moves to six this week, and Lungi Gleeson comes onto the bench. Him playing eight last week obviously was outstanding. Does that change the way he plays moving in the sixth position?
Definitely, and he would make those suitable adjustments. But this young tail bloke, I really like him. And I love Lungi Gleeson. I think he's explosive. Him coming off the bench will be awesome for the Wallabies. I think Valentini, he's so good. He can adjust his game any way he wants. Seven, six, eight.
Kev, in your time, did you ever play six or were you always just number eight? And did you ever have to think about going to the front row like some of the other back rowers when you got a little bit slower?
No, I didn't. If I played prop, I probably wouldn't play the game.
It's a dark place in that scrum. It's not for everyone.
It's a special position reserved for special people.
Is it just the props and the hookers that get the cauliflower ears?
The locks get it. Locks get it as well because you're just rubbing your ear against the back sides of the prop and the hooker, but yeah, it's a special place, isn't it, Kev?
It is a special place. It's this. Well, they're special people.
Oh, you're not wrong. Hey, the Wallaroos, they had a massive win against Fijiana over there. I think it's their biggest win ever in the history in the Wallaroos. Some debutante in that game, but you know they'll need that confidence and that type of win heading into the Black Ferns, which I don't think they've never beaten the Black Ferns in 25 occasions.
No, last game they got belted by 60 points. I think it was last year. Yeah, look, disappointing for Fijiana. I thought they were much better than that. Poor old Moses Raulini, I think he's still on the carver from last week. they've got an overseas, I think, tour coming up. So, yeah, they were really disappointing. But good for the Wallaroos. They play, the Black Ferns this week. Desiree Miller, 4 tries, probably should have got 5. She got tripped up in the last 10 minutes on the way to a 5th try. But what an awesome performance. Yeah, look, it'll be interesting. I went to the Black Ferns training, actually, during the week, and I know some of the coaching staff. I had some of them in the Tongan setup over the last 8 years. So their scrum coach is Dan Cron, who was with Tonga for the last 6 years with me, and he was with the Hurricanes before that. So they look a really good unit.
Kev, Tonga's going to be on while we're actually talking right now, but the makeup of that squad, Ben Tamefuna is the captain, you have Adam Coleman coming back in. Do you like the look of the Tongan squad heading into their first test match?
Yeah, good mixture of debutants and some experienced players. Well done to Benny again. I think he captained one of the games for me during the World Cup as well. So really good for him to get that recognition. He loves it. He's a Tongan boy through and through, old Benny. So he would be absolutely enjoying the week in Tonga leading up to this game. I think with Italy, they'll be smarting from their loss against Samoa last week. And this will be a nice afternoon game too. So, beautiful weather. Winter in the kingdom is awesome there. So I think it's going to be a tight game. I actually don't know who's going to win. If Italy can play like we know they played and bring that form back from the Six Nations, I think that would be hard to beat. But, in Delphi, the stadium with people packing the coconut trees and the mango trees and everywhere possible to get a view, anything can happen.
You're not wrong. I think the Italians are getting used to sort of that island lifestyle as well. Probably the hotel rooms won't be ready. Food will be different. So, as always, we really appreciate your insights. You're jumping on every Friday. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Thank you, Wikesy, and I hope to have my maroon-coloured top on next week.
It'll be a blue one, mate.
Be a blue one, mate. And I can see that Wallaby jersey in the back too. Save that for me. I need it for a raffle. No, I'm joking. All good, mate. Take care. We'll talk soon.
See you, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Too easy.
Nijin Footy with Sam and T.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Yes, if you are new to Nijin Footy, this is our competitive component where each week on Nijin Footy Fridays, we have our good friend Sefa Paulo, also known as Professor Paulo. He will be giving us a question. Me and Sammy will first to answer that question. We'll get a point. We'll keep a score. And at the end of the season, the loser has to buy the winner a fancy lunch. The score is... I'm on 8.5 and you're on 8.
You leapfrogged me there. Man, come on.
That was from all the Nijin Footy Fridays you had missed and I was beating Tupo Sabonga.
That's his last time on the show. I need to find someone else if I need to leave again. Let's rip into it.
Let's get straight into it.
As we see the Olympics commence in the next few weeks and the Rugby Sevens starting on July 24th, how many Pacific teams have qualified for the men's and the women's? So this is worth 2 points.
T.
Sam.
Oh, you can go first then.
You just want to see what I get wrong. Okay, for the men's, Samoa qualified. And for the women's, only Fiji. Let's say two.
All right, I'll
go. Hang on. Sorry. Fiji qualified as well for the men's.
I'll go three. Three. So you're going 2-1. Samoa, Fiji. You know what? I'll just go 4.
There is only two teams in the men's, Fiji and Samoa, who have qualified. And in the women's, Fiji are the only team to qualify from the Pacific in the women's competition.
Yes.
I was going to say 3 if you didn't jump the gun. But anyway,
I couldn't believe when I was thinking about that for the men's. I was like, Fiji, how could you forget the gold medalists?
I was actually thinking, did I get something wrong when you said 2, thinking Fiji didn't qualify?
Well, that makes me leapfrog you, T. And if we goes 9 to
8.5, plenty. Ooh, we're close. A lot of time to go, mate. Let's get on to our knockout tipping comp.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
So this is our knockout tipping comp where we pick one team each week from the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds, and we can't pick them again. Sammy, you got 2 from 2. For Rugby Union last week, so that deserves a round of applause, mate.
It's a first time being 100% in Rugby Union this year. It's only taken 6 months to get there.
Well, it's an interesting one this week because we're going to do points difference, pick a game.
Yeah, it's a tough one, and I'm thinking that we'll go the Samoa-Spain game after listening to Kef's in terms of favouritism.
Yep.
I just think complacency might take part in this game. So with
Samoa at home after beating Italy.
I think the celebrations might have carried on for a bit too long. And I want to go Spain, but because Spain are ranked 19th world rankings. So I feel like I need a bit of a head start. So I feel like.
What was the difference? Samoa, Italy? It was eight points difference?
8 points, yep.
What are you saying? So above 8, but not too far.
No, I'm thinking 10. I think a 10 point start for Spain.
You know, I'll give you an extra 0.5, so 10.5.
Oh, you're generous today, T.
Yes, so if it does land on 10, it's my okay. So I'll go Samoa. We have to beat Spain by more than 11 or more.
11 or more. Okay, perfect. So that will be that game.
So that's Rugby Union. That's and in Rugby Union. League, who are you going? Only four games to pick from.
Yeah, because of the
last
origin.
Last night's game had already been played. Rest of the teams have a bye because of the great State of Origin Game 3 decider next Wednesday, where you can hear on Radio Australia. What do you have?
Beautiful.
Radio Australia, ABC Radio Australia.
Andrew Moore calling that one. Perfect, the great Andrew Moore. I am going to go Origin ins and outs. Who's going to manage it the most? I'm going to go Titans against Parramatta Eels. No Mitch Moses for the Eels. They'll fall apart without him. And, yeah. I think it's going to be a big game with Fifita, a big Tongan back rower.
Yeah, a lot of news around David Fifita not being picked in game 3 for Queensland. And it seems like after these State of Origin games, he's just gone out for the Titans and absolutely
what more does
it.
He need to do? But obviously Billy's looking at something that we can't see, but Titans are my pick.
My pick this week will be, mate, I think the only guarantee. No, I'm not going to say that.
Guarantee.
I'm not going to say that.
The sure thing. Put your house on it.
I'm going with my old club, the Sharks, to beat the West Tigers. No Nico Hines, unfortunately. He's been injured, done his ankle at training, so he's out for 6 to 8 weeks. But the Sharks still should get the job done over the West Tigers.
I'm so off the Sharks from last week. They should have won that game. But, well, T, that's us done for another week of Nijin Footy Fridays. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nijin Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Ka kite. This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.